Blog Talk Radio.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
George Bush has invoked a new world order without enunciating a new American purpose.
Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
Today we take an essential step in defeating terrorism while protecting the constitutional rights of all Americans. Preventing mass terror will be the responsibilities of presidents far into the future.
The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, these are not simply words written into aging parchment. They are the foundation of liberty and justice in this country.
This is an ideological battle. Some people believe in globalism. Others of us believe in national sovereignty. It's a contest between ideologies, whether we believe in our institutions here, our national sovereignty, our constitution, or are we going to further move in the direction of international government? It's just knowledge is out there. If we look for it, you'll realize that our national sovereignty is under threat.
Everybody, Joseph Gibson Podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. Boy, it's hot out there. July is a hot month. Boy, oh boy, let me tell you. Oh, Lord. It's like the air is so thick. I mean, oh, you stand out there, you start sweating. Oh, man. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather have it warm than cold. I can't stand the cold weather. Can't stand it. But let's see, what do we got here lined up for a good show here tonight? Good show, I think. Well, they all been good shows, really. If I could fix this darn screen here on my computer here. Well, if I can. I don't know if I can or I can't. Well, let's see, why is it doing that? All right, but anyway, let's see here. All right, got to get back to my studio here. Back to my studio. See, I don't understand this darn thing. I just don't know how it works, this studio here, how it works. Now my screen has shrunk, and now I don't know where it went to. There, you know, I don't like this computer. I don't like it. This is ridiculous. I can't operate my screen. Oh, yeah, because it goes down to a little bar in the bottom of the bottom there, and you know, and now if I click on it, Yeah, drag it to, I don't like that. Just don't like how that works. All right, but anyway. All right, well, tonight, America, the Great Divide. We're going to do a little difference. We're going to go after the January 6th debacle here. And America was, people wanted answers. They wanted answers. So let's go back and scene by scene, story by story. And it was documented, this January 6th thing. There were reporters riding with patriots up to Washington, D.C. So there was no surprise this was going to happen. Everybody knew about it. I remember. Wasn't that long ago. But those of you that are zombies and, you know, you can't pay attention to maybe 10 minutes now before you forget everything, you, of course, are not going to remember the events of January 6th. You're only going to hear about them for a long time, and that's why you think you know about them, you know, because you really don't know any of them. And no, they were not all black African slaves, okay? There was Hondurans, people from Honduras, whatnot, that, you know, neither, okay, you know, when I woke up, I don't want to step on her head, you know? But anyway, all right, let's get this pulled up here. Let's see if we can get this going here for you. Understanding the times in which we live today, hopefully I can get this up and going here, and if not, I'll have to go to a commercial, and then I'll get it up and going. All right, let's see, here we go. We should be able to get going now. All right, January 6th, let's see here, that's not the one. This is there, right here, the rage. The day of rage, how Trump supporters took the U.S. Capitol. Here we go. Well, hopefully the audio works out pretty good for you. You should be able to hear it just fine, I would imagine. Last night you guys said it was pretty good, so let's go with it, and hope you enjoy it, and then we'll take phone calls towards the end of the podcast.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
They came from all 50 states. Out of some sense of patriotic duty.
So much more than just rallying for President Trump. It's really rallying for our way of life, the American dream, against fake news.
To protest an election they believe has been stolen.
We're here, patriots. We're in Washington, D.C., Capitol building dead in front of us.
Their day of action will be January 6th. When Congress would count electoral ballots and ratify the 2020 election results. For some, it was just a rally for their president. For others, it was a call to arms.
We have the power in numbers. March on Congress directly after Trump's speech.
In the weeks beforehand, there were over a million mentions on social media of storming the Capitol. Maps were shared of the building's layout. There was talk of bringing weapons and ammunition, and discussion over which lawmakers should be targeted first. This anger was based on a lie.
This election was a fraud.
A lie that had grown more frenzied after the election.
President Trump won this election. They were flipping the...
Steal the election in Philadelphia.
When you win in a landslide, and they
steal the election in Atlanta.
And it's rigged.
Steal the election in Milwaukee.
Not acceptable.
This is outrageous.
A lie spread by the president and his closest allies.
Let's call out cheating when we find it.
Some of whom stoked calls for...
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. Everyone's going to remember who actually stands in the breach and fights tomorrow and who goes running off like a chicken.
We bleed freedom.
This will be their Waterloo.
And we will sacrifice for freedom.
This will be their destruction.
What happens next was chaos.
They broke the glass.
Insurrection.
Take it now!
Jesus!
Death. Then there began a campaign to whitewash history, starting at the top.
It was a zero threat. Right from the start, it was zero threat.
And spreading throughout the Republican Party.
Even calling it an insurrection, it wasn't. By and large, it was peaceful protest.
One lawmaker who helped barricade the House doors now suggests there was barely any threat.
You didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th? You would actually think it was a normal tour.
A tourist visit? This was not. And the proof is in the footage. As part of a six-month investigation, the New York Times has collected and forensically analyzed thousands of videos, most filmed by the writers themselves. We obtained internal police radio traffic and went to court to unseal police body cam footage. a violent assault encouraged by the president on a seat of democracy that he vowed to protect. We'll chart how police leaders failed to heed warnings of an impending attack, putting rank-and-file officers in danger. We'll track key instigators in the mob taking advantage of weaknesses in the Capitol's defenses to ignite the fire that engulfed the building. We'll show, for the first time, the many simultaneous points of attack and the 8 breaches of what appeared to be an impenetrable institution of government. We'll show how the delay to secure Congress likely cost a rioter her life, and how, for some, storming the Capitol was part of the plan all along.
Get back tomorrow? I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go... I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol. Let's go!
It's the morning of January 6th, and thousands are filling the National Mall in Washington. Trump will speak here at the Ellipse, a large park near the White House and a half-hour walk to the U.S. Capitol, where the election will be certified. Who is actually in this crowd? Most are ordinary citizens who believe Trump's lie that the election was stolen.
It's going to be a great day. It's going to be wild, as Trump says.
But we also see more extreme groups who've gained a following during Trump's presidency. There are followers of the QAnon conspiracy.
Drinking their blood, eating our babies.
Who believe that Trump is facing down a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles. Q posts often invoke notions of patriotism and predict a coming storm. And ahead of January 6th, some supporters call for violence. The Oath Keepers, a far-right paramilitary group, are also here.
We have men already stationed outside D.C.
Their leader has said the group is ready to follow Trump's orders and take members of what they call the deep state into custody. They're organized, staging their military-style equipment neatly on the ground. And later, they put on body armor, talk on radios, and chat with their supporters on a walkie-talkie app called Zello.
We have a good group. We got about 30, 40 of us. We're sticking together and sticking to the plan. Y'all, we're one block away from the Capitol now. I'm probably going to go silent when I get there because I'm going to be a little busy.
Another group is the Proud Boys. They're far-right nationalists who flash white power signs throughout the day.
Check out all this testosterone.
They became a household name when Trump invoked them during a presidential debate.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
And that's what they did. They have a history of street violence and will be key instigators of the riot. We'll return to them soon. Although the rally is billed as a political protest, some make calls to storm the Capitol even before Trump speaks. And later, when Trump does take the stage,
we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
Some hear his words as a call to action.
You'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength, and you have to be strong.
Invade the Capitol building.
Do the right thing.
Take the Capitol.
Building.
2 hours before this, the Proud Boys were already heading for the Capitol. They're clearly spoiling for a fight with far-left agitators like Antifa, who they believe are in D.C.
Where's Antifa?
But there are moments that suggest another motive.
Stop right there anyway.
Take the fucking Capitol!
Come on, tighten up!
Tighten up, my boy! Let's not fucking yell that, all right?
They're organized, too. Many are marked with orange tape or hats.
Here's all the Proud Boys, guys. And those are the boys marching with us. We've got hidden guys everywhere.
They're wearing body armor, carrying baseball bats, and using radios.
That's affirmative, Jesse.
Leading them is Ethan Nordine, who's been entrusted with so-called war powers. He's joined by other well-known Proud Boys, like Joe Biggs, an organizer from Florida, Dominic Pozzola, a former Marine, and Billy Crestman. They will be among the first rioters inside the Capitol building.
Proud Boys!
As Trump is speaking, Some of his other supporters also head to the Capitol. And the tone is becoming menacing.
We're going to storm the fucking Capitol. Fuck you fuckers.
USA! USA!
Just ahead, officers guarding the building are understaffed and ill-equipped for what's coming their way.
You're going to stop us!
The building is more than 2 football fields in length. And barricades erected on the east side are defended by... The west side, facing Trump's rally, is even lighter. The fencing has been extended, and on the northwest approach, only 5 officers stand guard. Around 5 also defend the southwest approach. A few more dot the lawn. And about a dozen officers are behind them. Plans to storm the Capitol were made in plain sight. But the FBI and Department of Homeland Security did not deem those threats as credible.
We will take that building!
Capitol police leaders and Washington's mayor were warned at least 3 times of violent threats, but also didn't take them seriously or circulate that information. And they declined offers of security personnel from federal and other agencies. They could have enlisted several hundred more Capitol police for duty on January 6th, but did not.
We are taking our house!
And none of the officers on the barricades have protective gear or crowd control equipment. As a result, the Capitol is sparsely defended. It's 12:50 p.m. and a large group of Proud Boys is with other protesters outside the Capitol police line.
I got a feeling they believe those 5 officers.
Joe Biggs is rallying them when he's approached by Ryan Samson, a Trump supporter from Pennsylvania. They chat, we don't know about what. But a minute later, Samson is the first to approach the police line. And it's now that the protest turns violent. Without hesitation, the crowd overpowers the police. Nearby, a second group breaks through on another approach. Others jump fences. And now hundreds of rioters rush forward on several fronts.
D.C. is a motherfucking war zone! Fucking war!
Police retreat to the Capitol building, where it's becoming more threatening. A mob mentality begins to take hold. Are so outnumbered, they're forced to retreat again to more tightly defend access points to the Capitol. It's now 5 minutes into the siege that the Capitol Police Chief calls for backup from local law enforcement, known as the Metropolitan Police, and asks other Capitol leaders to mobilize the National Guard.
You took a note! Does that not mean a damn thing to you, does it?
Metro Police will arrive within 15 minutes. But for reasons we'll explain later, the National Guard won't arrive for over 4 hours. Meanwhile, more Capitol Police come to reinforce the line. It's the first time we see officers in riot gear. But most are missing their shields because they had not prepared to unlock the storage area where that equipment is kept. Proud Boys like Billy Crestman keep rallying the mob. And again, they start brawling with the police. Minutes later, reinforcements from the Metro Police arrive. A high-ranking Metro officer immediately calls for more backup.
Do you 12 up to help maintain the lines? They're throwing firebirds.
They struggle to chemical feels great. And within 30 minutes, the police already have casualties.
Multiple capital injuries! Multiple capital injuries!
This first wave of rioters battling police has paved the way across Capitol grounds for others to follow. After Trump finishes speaking, thousands more now fill this space. Meanwhile, inside the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence have begun certifying the 2020 presidential election results. Certification will happen on both sides of the building, in the House and the Senate. And this is what the rioters want to stop. An hour into the assault, the mob is battling a police line here, along the west face of the Capitol. But that violence is now going to spread to multiple points of attack, as west side rioters stream around the Capitol and incite the crowd on the east. Here's what that crowd looks like on the east. They're aware of the siege happening on the west side, and some are emboldened by it. But up until now, they've been kept behind the barricades. Then, this group from the west storms around the building and pushes right through the barriers. The police here barely put up a fight. And it's now that protesters all along the east barricade surge forward. Officers are overwhelmed from several directions. And retreat to guard Capitol entrance. But these rioters believe they've been deputized by their president to stop a crime. And now, they start trying to get into the building itself. Now surrounded. Rioters haven't made it inside yet, but from the time that the mob on the east pushed forward, rioters on the west were making a pivotal move. This scaffolding was erected for the upcoming inauguration of Joe Biden. It covers a staircase that gives direct access to an upper level and dozens of doors and windows. Three police lines guard that route. But at ground level, officers are so overwhelmed that just a few cover this crucial access point. Several Proud Boys see the weakness. Proud Boys start fighting the police, and with others in the mob, they push through the line. Several minutes, it's a brutal fight on these steps. At one point, the rioters are held back. But they make a final push up the flight of stairs. At the top, they scuffle again with a small group of officers. Give in after barely a minute.
Stop following orders! Right now! No, we're right!
The mob now has direct access to Capitol entrances.
I can't believe this is reality. We accomplished this shit!
And hundreds more protesters below surge forward. Mayhem, and it's about to get worse. The scene is being filmed from countless angles, allowing us to piece together, moment by moment, what comes next. Proud Boy Dominic Fazzola uses a police shield he stole to bash in a window. And at 2:13, the Capitol is breached. Michael Sparks, a Trump supporter from Kentucky, is the first person inside. A police officer seems unsure of what to do and backs off. Sparks is followed by Proud Boys and other far-right extremists, one carrying a Confederate flag, another armed with a baseball bat. When rioters break open the locked doors, hundreds more rush in. Critical moment. Officers must now defend the outside and inside of the building, stretching them even further. Simultaneous events now happen that are critical to lawmakers' safety. Rioters head straight for the Senate and will be at its doors in 2 minutes. Above them, the Senate is called into recess.
Thank you.
Members will evacuate down these stairs. In this hallway, directly overhead the rioters, Officer Eugene Goodman is sprinting to overtake them. He passes Mitt Romney, who he warns to turn around. Reinforcements are following behind. Goodman overtakes the mob, goes downstairs, and intercepts them. He holds them off while backup arrives upstairs. These rioters, and just feet away, is an escape route where lawmakers and Senate staff are now fleeing. Just one officer stands guard. Keeping his composure, Goodman draws the mob away from that escape route to where reinforcements are waiting. He glances toward the Senate and realizes a door is unguarded. Goodman shoves the protester again, lures the mob away, and brings them into that line of fellow officers. Again, the rioters here are convinced it's their duty to defend democracy. Hold them off here for now. Meanwhile, on the other side of the Capitol, a few political leaders are evacuated from the House of Representatives. But despite a lockdown alert, proceedings here will resume.
The House will be in order.
We'll go there soon. First, we'll go to the crypt in the center of the Capitol, below the rotunda. The mob is already at its entrance. If they get through here, they will more easily fan out across the building. Jostle with police here for 6 minutes and then flood through. It's now 2:24 p.m., some 90 minutes after the siege began, and the mob is about to overrun the building. As this is happening and as thousands more swell outside, Trump composes a tweet, not to calm his supporters, but to blame his vice president. He writes, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution. At this very time, Pence and his family are being taken to safety, along with an aide who's carrying the country's nuclear launch equipment. At 2:25 p.m., there's another major breach on the opposite side of the building, the east side. Rioters have been battling a handful of officers at these doors for almost half an hour. The tide turns when rioters who came through the crypt reach these doors and pull them open. Then an active duty Marine Corps officer, Christopher Warnagiris, keeps that door open for the mob to flood in.
Dude.
just as elsewhere, this crowd is a mix of diehard Trump supporters, but also more organized groups like the Oath Keepers, who move in formation here toward that east side entrance. The Oath Keepers and their supporters continue to update each other on the Zello chat app.
The House is in recess. We're going to yank them out of their seats.
The group enters the Capitol together. Proud Boys are near them, including Joe Biggs, the organizer we saw earlier. He's entering the building for a second time. The Oath Keepers fill the rotunda, along with hundreds of other rioters. Now the police inside the building are completely outnumbered and call for backup.
We need some additional squads in the rotunda and disperse about 200 people.
Throughout the Capitol, staffers have barricaded doors to keep the mob out. In Nancy Pelosi's chambers, staffers rush inside a conference room and lock two doors behind them. Just 12 minutes later, rioters outside head straight for her offices and pile in. Huddled together under a table, Pelosi's staff record what's happening.
We need to have a little listening. Dr. Dillon, they're barging into our trying to find her.
Yeah. One writer tries to break into that same room. Inside, staffers are silent as they record him pounding. He gets through the first door, but the second door keeps him out. It's a scene that again shows just how compromised the U.S. government has become. By 2:30 p.m., the Senate evacuation is well underway. But even though a lockdown was called over 15 minutes ago, the House is still in session.
Do not accept Arizona's electors as certified.
Representative Jim McGovern is chairing. He told us he wanted to finish hearing objections to the election results by Paul Gosar. House staff and security gave McGovern the all clear to continue. It's a delay that likely costs someone their life. Suddenly, staff are now pointing at the chamber's doors.
Please stand by your mask under your seat. Please grab a mask, place it in your lap, and be prepared to don your mask in the event that you get a breach.
Just outside, a mob of 100 or more is baying to get into them.
Well, we came this far. What do you say?
These rioters pay little heed to the thin line of police.
They're going. I would just stop.
And in moments, are pushing against the doors into the House. On the other side, Capitol Police erect a barricade and draw their guns.
You're a traitor!
On the floor, lawmakers are evacuated to the rear of the chamber, where in a few minutes, a rioter will be shot and killed. Part of the mob outside now peels off in that direction to find a different way in. Ashley Babbitt, an Air Force veteran and QAnon supporter, is among the first to arrive at the rear of the House. They see the lawmakers escaping. That lobby might have been clear had the House been evacuated sooner. But the rioters now become incensed. Zachary Allam, a Trump supporter from Pennsylvania, punches in the glass panels with his bare fists. Police are stretched extremely thin. Just three officers and a security staffer stand guard. None are wearing riot gear, and they keep their weapons holstered. When a team of heavily armed police now arrives, the three officers step aside. This creates a crucial gap that allows rioters to smash in the glass. A warning, what happens next is graphic. It's 2:44 p.m., and behind the door, a police officer draws his handgun.
There's a gun! There's a gun! There's a gun! There's a gun! There's a gun!
Abbott vaults into the window, and the officer shoots her once. It's a fatal wound through the upper chest. Inside the chamber, the floor is clear, but lawmakers in the balcony are sheltering in place.
Everybody stay down! Get down! Take your pins off!
Pins off!
They now remove the breast pins that identify them as members of Congress. A group of rioters who almost made it to the balcony are held at gunpoint as it's finally evacuated. Now Trump supporters have achieved their goal, stopping the election certification. And while the House is evacuated, at the other side of the building, the Senate is occupied. On the Senate floor, they leaf through lawmakers' files, smoke for photos, pray, and leave a message for Mike Pence.
It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming.
As rioters inside have been rampaging throughout the Capitol, the crowd outside has grown, and that first battle has continued raging. For almost 2 hours, officers face off with rioters who say they support the police.
We back you forever! We back the blue forever!
But assault them anyway. We're going to show what happened here because it demonstrates yet again how failures by Capitol Police leaders to prepare put the safety of these officers at risk. Capitol Police had been ordered to withhold some of their stronger weapons. But as soon as Robert Glover, a Metro Police inspector, arrives, he calls for his munitions team to help.
Where's your 50? Give me a DSO team! DSO team! DSO team to respond to the west part of the Capitol!
When the building is breached, Glover knows he needs to retreat and seeks advice from Capitol leaders.
I need a command official from Capitol! So we can coordinate where they want us to get back to. We cannot hold this without more munitions or more airpower.
But Capitol don't respond. He asks four times.
I need to know from Capitol where they want to get back to.
Then the police lose the line. Rioters knock an officer over, throw a fire extinguisher. Glover issues a 10:33, the call of last resort.
10:33, I repeat, 10:33, West Front of the Capitol. We have been flanked and we've lost the line.
Equal to 10:33, have all units respond to assist them. Do what you need to do.
Crazed rioters pounce the police even as they retreat to the upper level. Now begin to guard this doorway, an iconic centerpiece of presidential inaugurations. But for another 2 hours, the same pattern will repeat. Rioters fill the terrace, instigators trigger a frenzy, and tragically, someone will die. A brutal fight erupts in the doorway. The mob heaves in a coordinated scrum. And when police finally push them out, they face even worse violence. They are tased, gassed, and robbed of their equipment. They're beaten with a crutch, a hockey stick, and even an American flag. At least four officers are pulled into the crowd. One dragged by his own helmet, face down. And again, the frenzy turns fatal. Roseanne Boyland, a Trump supporter who has been swept up by QAnon conspiracies, is moving toward the door. But amid the scrum, she collapses and is lying unconscious beneath the mob. As the sarcastically chants a Black Lives Matter slogan, Boyland's friend, Justin Winchell, tries to pull her to safety. He screams for help. But instead, fellow rioters trample over Boyland and charge at the police again. Boyland will be pronounced dead at a local hospital in the evening. By the end of the day, rioters have breached and entered the building in at least eight locations. There's the first breach, which we've seen, when rioters smashed through two windows and a door. Beside that, a rioter with a crowbar smashes in a second door and then opens it to hundreds of people. Others smash a window next to the inauguration door and climb inside. At this entrance, police stand aside and allow rioters to stream in unchallenged. On the north side of the building, police in riot gear yield and let the crowd in. Another three breaches are on the east side, two by the central doors into the rotunda, and this southeast door leading to the House chamber. It's the arrival of more Metropolitan Police and other agencies that finally turns the tide. When those officers enter the rotunda, they clear it in just 20 minutes. The mob is pushed back through the east doors. Their rage turns to Mike Pence, who Trump attacked earlier. Metro officers also stop other rioters from entering on the west side, where the mob first broke in. But here too, we see a crowd empowered by the belief that they're carrying out some patriotic duty.
I was invited here by the president!
Over the course of the day, 150 police officers are injured. After 4 p.m., Metro and Capitol Police regain control of the upper levels. The final parts of the interior are cleared by other law enforcement, including federal agencies. Tear gas and flashbangs disperse the crowd on the inauguration terrace. The Virginia State Police and Arlington County Police help to reclaim that area. Then rioters are swiftly pushed off Capitol grounds by a reinforced police line. Only now, more than 3 hours after Capitol Police first called them, do National Guard soldiers arrive.
You can defuse and turn down right now!
Troops were staging just 20 minutes away, but a recent procedural change meant the highest level of the Pentagon had to approve deployment. And Pentagon officials delayed the decision, partially in fear of bad optics, even as the Capitol was being overrun. Calm returns, the president tweets again. He repeats that the election had been stripped away, calls his supporters great patriots, and says, remember this day forever. The aftermath of January 6th has been as divisive as the lie that launched it. Even as one arm of government has indicted hundreds of rioters, Republican lawmakers continue efforts to normalize what happened with a mix of denials and conspiracy theories.
Some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters.
I knew those are people that love this country, that truly respect law enforcement, would never do anything to break a law, and so I wasn't concerned.
They include Paul Gosar, who'd been at the Trump rally.
Both the DOJ is harassing peaceful patriots across the country.
And Andrew Clyde, who we saw earlier, standing just a few feet from rioters.
There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie.
Republican leaders have blocked an independent investigation that could have brought new details to light.
I've made the decision to oppose the House Democrats' slanted and unbalanced proposal for another commission to study the events of January the 6th.
And in May, a top Republican was ousted from the party's leadership after blaming Trump for inspiring the riot.
And I think that the party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from.
None of what happened on January 6th would have been possible without a huge mass of ordinary people who were proud of what they achieved.
We made it!
Yeah!
We stopped the bomb!
Millions around the country still believe the violence was not only justified, but necessary. And the forces that brought them there have not gone away.
Yeah, the Patriots are coming back, yo. Hopefully y'all will be on our side when that happens.
Everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. Well, there it had it. There you have it. There you have it right there. Well, what do you think? You know, well, you heard the narrator there. I think that was probably a bot there narrating one of those computer-generated voices, you know. But I'll tell you what. President is the leader. He's the commander-in-chief. They were right. They were supporting Trump. And, well, what became of it? What have we found out? Were they right? Was there fraud in the election? Has there been fraud? I mean, if there's fraud and a crime has been committed, and these are conspirators, the House and the Senate, they're conspiring to commit a crime. They're not investigating. They're not doing the right thing, right? At this time, during this January, they're not, you know, they're just going to, if nobody was there at that Capitol, if nobody protested, nobody said anything, it would have business as usual, right? Pence would have walked away, would have stick up his ass, and, you know, he would have been all proud, and yeah, God bless America, you know, and, right? I mean, so the protesters were there. Now, weeks later, it's brought to light. You know, there was obviously fraud. That's the opinion of what I hear out there, right? I'm just echoing what I hear on this podcast and what we've seen and what we've been talking about. So was there fraud? If a crime had been committed and the government is broken, what's the remedy, folks? What's the remedy? What do? You redress the government. They brought their grievances there. The grievance is brought. And so what happened? I don't know. I want to hear what other people have to say about this. What do you think? Press number one. All right, let's go. Private caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I think they should arrest all these people that were involved in the collusion of the election. But I don't think it's going to happen because they have the media on their side.
Yeah. What do you mean? What people involved? You're talking about the politicians that were involved that helped the collusion of covering up the. I mean, if there was fraud, which we know there was, we know for a fact that Joe Biden did not receive the number of votes that they claimed he received, and they know I mean, there wasn't even that many registered voters. So yeah.
And you see the rallies that Trump had. And Biden couldn't even get 20 people.
Yeah.
So,
He right there during the election, I think a couple days before the election, they had a rally in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden had 16 cameras there and like three people, with Biden signs. And Trump had, 60,000 people, you know? So go figure.
Yeah,
who won Pennsylvania? Let's see here. You know? Go figure it out. I mean, it's common sense, man. Common sense, but a crime was committed, and you know what? It's a touchy line where you got to say the police oh, well, they were just doing their job. No, that was unlawful what they were doing. They should have, what the rioters said, well, I'm actually, I shouldn't call them rioters. The Patriots said, go arrest them. Go arrest them. We're the people. We're the people.
Yes.
Bring them to justice. Bring them. We want them to stand trial. Where's the evidence? And we have all this media. The media can put the cameras there. They can broadcast it so nobody has to stand out there in the Capitol. But everything's freaking covered up so much and twisted and lies and watered down. Well, you can't believe in, you know? It's all fake. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
man.
And,
I mean,
and you also see, and you also see the video of a person that was inside the building giving, but there was a person that was giving pipes to all these people that were from Antifa with the Trump hats and all that.
Yeah, instigators, provocateurs, And who was responsible for that? Why isn't that person arrested? Why isn't that person sitting in a federal prison right now? Those people that supplied all the pipes and everything, the George Soros clan, you know? Where are they at? You know? And then listen, in that video, you see the Capitol police officer. He just pulls out his pistol and just shoots that girl. Just shoot, bang.
That was sad.
You know, man, that's a crime. That's murder, man. That's murder.
Yep.
You know? Oh,
yep.
My Lord.
Oh. Yeah. They say that it's the guy named Bird.
What's
that? The guy that shot the girl, his last name is Bird or something like that.
I don't know who it is, but I'll tell you what, his name should be a number inside of a prison. You know? That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
he murdered that woman. Oh,
yep.
Man. Wow.
Yeah.
Next private caller. Go ahead. Next private caller. Let's bring on another private caller. Go ahead, private caller.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Sarge.
Oh, hey. I didn't hear the unmuted. Okay, how you doing there, Joe?
Doing all right.
Joe, did you hear what Dr. Ron Paul, Rand Paul's father said?
No. Ron Paul, what'd he say?
He warned of Soviet-style political persecution of conservatives because of the way they're being detained. He says they're being tortured. And he wrote an article on Monday about the conviction of one of the protesters named Paul Hodgkins. He said this is a miscarriage of justice. And this is what he said. He said the words, this is what Ron Paul wrote. Quote, he said the words Joe Biden's Justice Department wanted to hear. Words reminiscent of the sort of Soviet-style confessions beaten out of political dissidents the world over. Joseph R. Biden is rightfully and respectfully the President of the United States. He went on to say Hodgkins did not commit any violence and was punished for his political views. The saving of democracy by putting a man away to prison for 8 months, destroying his life, his family, the whole works, because he walked into the Capitol, took a picture, did no act of violence whatsoever. He was number one on the list. He was the enemy of the state. And he pointed out that 500 people that had been faced with similar political charges and sentences for protesting. He said this kind of totalitarian justice was soon becoming for Biden supporters as well. Some people out there, even politicians, get it.
Yeah. You're right, coming for Biden supporters, too. See, these Antifas and all these people and all these Ocasio-Cortezes, they don't understand. They're going to get it, too. They're next, you know. I mean, the deep state's going to come after them. Those Capitol police officers, they should have – listen, well, you know what? If you watch the video, when they let the guys in and they just open the doors, no violence happens. It's when they're standing in front with shields and pepper spraying – the people that want to get in there and face their politicians. Oh, you should have seen Mitt Romney run like a bitch. Oh, if you, you know, I was cracking up laughing. Oh, what a little bitch he is, let me tell you. man, you know.
You know something, though? I'm telling you, man. I saw all of this discussion about all this. This is the worst insurrection ever in the history of when we had Puerto Rican nationalists actually shoot 5 members of the House of Representatives. They shot them in 1954. They set off a bomb in the Capitol.
It's insane.
And the ones who did it were people on the liberal side of the spectrum.
I got to say this, you know, look, they were there, I wish it could have went down another way, but you know what, this is corruption. We know that for years this has been building up, for years. We all talk about it at our kitchen tables, in our cars, when we're driving, in private conversations, watching a football game or whatever. The government's corrupt. And this was the melting pot. And they came within about 20 feet of grabbing those House of Representatives leaders. If they would have grabbed them, oh, boy, you know, and they would, you know. And I don't believe in that, just, you know, grabbing them and hurting them. I believe they should have been arrested. They should have been arrested and for the crimes that they've committed. And we know a lot of these politicians have committed crimes. You know, they violated their oath of office. That's a crime, you know. Discretionary abuse, you know, that's a crime. Contempt of Constitution, a crime. You know, and these are crimes that are never, ever.
With rioters being prosecuted for rioting. I have no problem whatsoever with it. But when you're holding people without bail in solitary confinement for misdemeanor, trespass, disorderly conduct,
I know.
I don't go that far.
And meanwhile,
no one knows anything about this.
Seattle rioters.
They ought to go that far either.
Yeah, well. Meanwhile, they're letting the Portland, Seattle rioters, or the ones in Ferguson, or whatnot, or wherever around the country, they let them go. No bail, no nothing. You know, I mean, come on. You know, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
It's worse than
ridiculous.
This is tyranny. We're looking at tyranny here, Joe. This is tyranny.
Yeah.
We got those insurrectionists who ran away from Texas, created a super spreader attack. They just did insurrection in their own little capital, in Texas. They pulled an insurrection act.
Yeah.
They're stopping the legislature process illegally. It is against the law to do what they did in Texas. And there's legislators.
It's an act of insurrection. I'll tell you what, though.
And
it's steered by Democrats
in Washington, D.C.
I'll tell you what, they were calling Nancy Pelosi, you effing bitch, this and that, you know what? And she's a criminal. Pelosi's a criminal. She's a criminal.
Lord, she is a criminal, Pelosi.
You know?
Oh, that's the truth. Utterly corrupt. We have the most corrupt government I've ever seen in my life today.
Yeah.
The corruption is massive. This guy in the White House is a crook. He's been running a crime family for at least 30 years.
Oh, but yeah,
and we've
Biden.
Got
his own son's
laptop with the evidence right there on it. That ought at the very least convene a grand jury, and if not that, certainly impeachment hearings. But no.
Yeah.
No, Trump had a phone call with Zelensky in Ukraine, and he had to be removed from office forthwith, because he was looking into very corruption of which we know Joe Biden was involved in.
And all these people, you know, Sarge, I like to say this. All these people that knock Trump, though, I've been thinking about it. You know what? If they, like you just said, if they didn't harass the crap out of him for the four years he was in there, I mean, just tear him apart, everything he did, waste all that time reporting fake news, guess what? We may have our republic back. We might have had our republic back. They just stood in his way on everything he did. The freaking guy got up to eat an ice cream cone. They freaking twist it upside down and turn it into something else, you know?
The reason they did it, because they don't want the republic to come back. The closest thing we've had to a president to willing to do that in 30-something years is him. No matter how imperfectly he may have been trying to do it, he was the closest thing we've seen in the last few decades.
Yeah,
they realized
they
had to stop him. Even Jorge Bush was willing to go along with the globalist agenda to some extent. I mean, with Donald Trump, you had a reputation of much of it, if not most of it.
You know, and those National Guardsmen that came in and started beating up protesters and everything, let me tell you something. They wear that uniform, and they don't got my respect. They don't have no respect at all for me. None. You know what, Dad? I mean, you know, we got a job to do. Listen. You know, you're drawing a fine line there. It's a fine line. But the line is created by the corruption. The line is created by the corruption. There wouldn't be a fine line there if people would, the checks and balances would work from the get-go and people would stand up instead of cowering down and being cowards or being corrupt or being criminals and having their own agenda like Mitt Romney, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Those people, if they, you know what I mean? Those are the criminals out there. Those are the real criminals.
Well, Joe, there's no doubt that a tiny minority of the over 100,000 people at that Capitol were rioting. And by the way, not all of them were Trump supporters either. All right?
I know.
There's no doubt that some of them were rioting. However, and that's the guardsmen got to do their duty to stop a riot. You know, I don't have a problem with them doing their duty to stop a riot. The problem is the Democrats are trying to make this into an excuse to crack down on normal, legal, and constitutional political dissent.
Yeah.
It's literally their Reichstag fire.
Yes, that, yep, there you go. That's a good example. That's a good example to constantly throw out there. This was the Reichstag fire. That's what it was. You know, look over
this
here.
This is the opportunity
now
to go ahead and crack down on dissenters and, you know, maybe even purge the armed forces, for God's sake. They're doing what Stalin did in 1937.
Yep. Yeah.
They're going to get rid of the unreliable political operatives in the military. They're going
to
purge
them. Everybody needs to speak out on
right
this
now.
One.
Look what they did to Matthew
everybody
Loheimer,
needs to speak up on this one.
Who wrote that book. Look what they did to him.
Yeah. 314. Go ahead. I think I know who this is. Go ahead.
You know, you don't know how lucky you are to have two fine, knowledgeable, constitutional, red-blooded Americans like me and Shaharj on your show.
Oh, I know. I'm very thankful for that.
You must have been living right, brother. You must have been living right.
The good Lord blessed me.
Absolutely. But the Sarge is right on what he is that he's saying. And I want to take my hat off. And this is the thing that I'm talking about that can be done. I think that more things need to be done at a state level, like Missouri, where the governor just signed a bill authorizing school choice in the state with somewhat like a voucher going toward the student that wants to leave and go elsewhere. It's not as good as it should be. I think all of the dollars should follow the child. It's calculated based on what the parents, what homeowners that participate. And the amount is based on the number of children. So that's a good thing. Now you got parents, you got children that come from functional homes. And now that child has the ability to be taken out of the present environment that they're in, where you have children that don't come from functional homes and don't have not been taught to respect authority. Now, if that's what the parent wants that child to gravitate to, fine. I don't want my child to do that. And I want to be able to take my child out of that environment. And I don't want them to be given excuses and saying, well, if you take all the good kids out, then the overall average would drop. Well, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to sacrifice my child's life? You know, there's no push button on the U.S. Constitution for off and on, and the same applies to your children. You cannot stop the progress and growth of your child until they get out of a classroom. It continues on and on.
You know, this private business thing, too, with the mask thing, you know, people say, you know, your constitutional rights are not left at the door. If you're running a publicly owned business where the public is invited, your constitutional rights are protected at that door. It's not,
he owns the business, he can do what he wants.
Well, you know, I thought we did away with that at Woolworths, you know, when you know what I mean? Where, look, you know, you don't have a right to do that. You know, you can't discriminate. You can't violate someone's constitutional rights. Simple as that. You know, you have a right.
Let me tell you something, Joseph. The Constitution don't have an on-off switch where you can turn it off
based on
anything that comes on the country, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's a war. It's continuing to run until you want to get rid of it. Then at that point in time, all bets are off. But I want to say something, too, about discrimination. Me and Sarge was discriminated against. Good time today on another show. They wouldn't let us come on and talk. And this was a black show. I keep telling you, blacks are just as much racist as anything else or anyone else.
Sergeant,
all right?
Well, we're not authentically black, Pianchi. You got to remember that now. We ain't authentically black, so, you know, they got a veneer. That's the same veneer they use to justify cracking down on insurrectionists.
Absolutely.
Well, what happened on this show? What happened? Explain it.
We would just tell the truth, Joe. We tell the facts. You know, I don't care for people to challenge my facts, but don't come up and say the days. Who in the hell is this days? Pass the law. What law? What law say you cannot punish you cannot use corporate punishment when I know 19 states allow it? So when people come up with these all encompassing facts that they have, but they can't quote any one particular thing, apply dates and numbers to it, well, hell, all they're doing is putting a lot of hearsay out there. And we know hearsay is not even permissible in a court of law.
Yeah, but Pianchi, let me tell you what they can do. Now, see, they'll say something, and we'll bring it back to very specifics. We'll bring up facts, and usually we source them. What they then do is launch into a narrative and question your psychology and your motives and what's on your mind. They don't try to actually refute your argument. They just launch into an abstract narrative that has little to do with the issue at hand. Notice how often they do it. They do it all the time because they really don't have an argument.
You're absolutely right. And then that's how they go about soothing over the black population. Not all of it, because I don't like to generalize, but a large portion of it. You know, let me give you another example. Look how they want to denigrate Thomas Jefferson because he had sex. Well, they say he raped Sally Hennings. Well, I dispute that because when she went to France, a free country, quote unquote, and very, very hospitable to black, she didn't attempt to run away. But let's look at it this way. What about Elijah Muhammad, Joseph, the leader of the Nation of Islam?
Oh, boy. Whoa.
Huh?
Uh-oh, we may get Chewbacca to call in here now.
Well, unless you were able to counter their cries and their unfounded pretensions with something that we know exactly had, what about James Brown, the godfather of soul, what he done to a 16-year-old Tammy Terrell?
Oh, he was a womanizer there, huh? He was a racist.
I heard about that.
That was a childanizer.
Yeah, I heard about that. Hey, you know
what? I feel good.
Speaking of Sally Hemings, Sally Hemings was in Paris with Thomas Jefferson. All she had to do was go to the embassy anywhere in Paris, not the embassy, but to any state, what do you call it, magistrate in Paris, and make a claim for freedom, and they would have honored it. She would have been able to stay in France as a free person. But she elected not to for whatever reason. Remember, he was an ambassador in Paris. And when he went there, had Sally Hemings chosen to make a claim of freedom, she would have been granted it. But she didn't. And she knew it, by the way. She knew it. And Thomas Jefferson knew it, too. But he still felt, you know, he could take her there, and he wasn't worried about her running away. And now you could say that she was colonized and enslaved. But given the nature of what their relationship seemed to be, I really don't think so. I really don't. They had a relationship that was something other than master and slave. Yes, she was a slave. Yes, legally she was. I'm not trying to argue that. But I'm saying in other particulars, it's not quite that simple. And by the way, when it comes to the DNA test, as to determine whether or not Thomas Jefferson did in fact father Sally Hemings' line of children, there is no doubt that a Jefferson did, but it is not conclusive that it was Thomas. Could have been Randall Jefferson. He spent a lot of time in the slaves' quarters, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying it wasn't Thomas Jefferson. I'm simply saying it isn't conclusive. And by the way, the people who went and started that rumor admitted that it wasn't conclusive.
Well, it can't be conclusive because it goes along with the old saying, mother's baby, father maybe.
Hey, Democrats, Democrats call for arrest and forced hospitalization of unvaccinated Americans. How about that? Huh? Democrats call for that.
It probably goes to show you how corrupt they are and how they go against the basic liberties of our U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Just by making that
statement. Tell them about the Nigerian woman who had to have both her legs and her hands amputated. Both of her hands, both of her legs.
Yeah,
she had
the second shot, and it overcame her. It caused clotting of her veins. It cut off the blood circulation to her legs. She had both legs cut off.
Why does it happen to some?
I think in a pitch.
Why?
Well, that's just it. Well, be truthful with you. Hardly anyone dies from it. When you're looking at like a 0.0177, hardly no one's dying from it. So it would be astonishing if somebody did when you're looking at those type of odds. I wish I had those type of odds going for me, that 99% when I'm playing a lotto or bingo.
You know here's the thing, though. It is rare. I'm not trying to pretend it's going to be common. There's going to be a tiny percentage of people who have this kind of adverse reaction to the vaccine. But there are also a tiny percentage of people who have adverse reactions to shellfish and to peanuts. And yet and still, we take them into account every day. There's all kind of warnings about peanuts and shellfish allergy to people who are susceptible to it, and we don't think it's anything unusual. Only with this damn thing, which has become political and not medical and not scientific, only with this thing do we do this sort of thing and ignore the normal common sense precautions for a very tiny percentage of people who might be adversely affected by the vaccine.
Well, you got someone in the chat room that says, what about Trump, the father of the vaccine? I mean, I don't think Trump would be
the father of the vaccine. He was not the father.
Yeah,
you know, they like to claim things on the man. He basically said, if you want to take a vaccine, go ahead. That's basically, when you lay it down, that's what he said.
Yeah.
He never mandated.
Trump never would have been for a mandatory vaccine for anyone. Now, that I can say with absolute confidence.
The federal government has business mandating to a U.S. citizen that they supposed to engage in some commercial entity. They have no business. It stops at the red line in the sand.
Well, you're right about that one. You know, they've got no business doing that.
I think in so many things involving this, in so many areas of society today, we have literally taken leave of our senses in almost everything. Can't even decide whether a man is a man or a woman is a woman, for God's sake.
We've literally taken leave of our senses in almost everything.
And look, I had a heck of a time with the mask law when you couldn't go in the store. I went in the store with a mask on. I went in the store, Sarge. No alarms went off. No hands went up in the air. It was so astonishing to me as a black man to walk in the store with not anybody panicking. I stepped outside, stepped back in about two or three times before I realized that it was all right.
But did you walk out with $950 less of merchandise? That's all I want to know.
I didn't do that.
Okay.
That's what you were doing. Oh Lord, yeah, no, but it's I don't know what we all talk about this problem constantly. I mean, how long do you think we got? As soon as they kick this ID card in, with this vaccination and lock you down, you can't come out of your house unless you get the vaccine. I think that's when it all starts.
Oh, you talking about segregation? I hear it in some airlines. You got two lines: one line for those been vaccinated, the other line for those who haven't. Now, if that's not segregation, I don't know what you call it. That's Jim Crow.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Man,
I already
made a decision. I got the Moderna vaccine, both shots. I ain't getting no more. That's it. I've already made up my mind. I'm not getting any more until I see more conclusive evidence that this thing has little chance at all of being harmful. I'm not taking another one.
Well, I haven't took any and don't plan on taking any. But I say one thing that we got to start. You know, you got to call these things what they are. two lines, one for who have and one who haven't. If that's not Jim Crow, what the hell is it?
Yeah. Not Jim Crow, what is it?
Well,
we played last night,
Joe,
Bianca. We played a little bit of Rockwell last night.
Yeah, hey, Joe.
You know, we had that little one. But go ahead, Sarge.
Chat saying they put peanut oil in the vaccines. Do any of you know anything about that?
Does anyone know about the peanut oil going in the vaccines? Someone's making a comment saying that peanut oil, and peanut oil is what? What is peanut oil? I mean, is that harmful to people? I mean, I don't get it.
Some people with allergies, it can kill them, literally. It can cause them to go into anaphylactic shock, and they can die of suffocation.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. Where's the
I don't know if
we're
doing that, but, you know, I mean, Kostov usually has good information. I mean, I just wondered if you knew.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know anything about peanut oil, to be honest with you. I really don't. I'm a little bit ignorant of that. I just don't. I know that some people are allergic to peanuts, and so therefore they die or they get swelled up and, you know, they get adverse reactions. So, yeah, I believe there are a few people, but I don't know why. Why is that? Isn't peanut oil really good and healthy for you? I just don't, you know, I don't know too much about it.
Don't blame majority of people, but just some people just have these kinds of reactions. I mean, they can die.
Yeah, some kids can consume peanuts.
It's just one of those anomalies in people.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people,
I had a relative that was allergic to milk.
I mean, people are allergic to milk.
Yeah, I had a relative in my family, Sarge.
They cannot digest milk.
Well, Sarge, I think I had a relative that was allergic to the peanut oil. I'm not sure. I don't know which side it was on, but I heard stories about that where if they can't have or something. I think it might have been chocolate maybe even. They're allergic to chocolate. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But, yeah, so people can get sick. Look, everyone's allergic to something, or there's some people allergic to something too. You know, you don't know. Some people aren't allergic to nothing. It just I guess, I don't know, why do these allergies develop when you're born? There's no cure for it. There's no way to reverse it, you know?
Well, Joe, look, I don't know. Obviously, you don't. Most people don't know, but I tell you this way.
Yeah.
Because we don't know to a great degree, it ought to be up to each individual on the basis of their God-given liberties to make that decision for themselves or their minor children. I don't care what their reason is. I mean, I'm literally mean it. Whatever
it is,
that's got to be their God-given, liberty-driven decision to make.
You know, you have to be suspicious because we live in a country that's based on torts. Torts is when you have the ability to file civil lawsuits in this case. But when you have something like this that comes out that's damn near being mandated upon the citizens to take, and you have relieved the manufacturer of liability, you have to be kind of suspicious of what the heck's going on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I got that private caller still out there. I don't know. I think your line's open, private caller. I don't know if you're still listening, if you want to jump in there. I saw your number there. Go ahead there, sir.
I believe where we get all these allergies from is when we get the vaccines when we're little. That's what I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's true. Why put this stuff in you, this poison, you know, to do what? You know, I mean, and then it's going to make you sick. I mean, I don't know. Some vaccines are good. I mean, look at polio. You know, I mean, look at the chicken pox. But, yeah, I mean, you know, so.
Hey, look,
yeah,
the smallpox.
What do you do?
Smallpox vaccine was pretty good at preventing a really deadly and loathsome disease in literally millions of people.
Yeah, cause you can't go out there and make a blanket statement and say all of them are bad, you know.
My cousin on my mother's side, she got the polio shot and she got the polio. So. It's bad.
You're right. You get adverse reaction. I got 5099 here who wants to jump in here too. So whenever you guys are ready for him, let me know.
Well, I was just going to say this. The best vaccine maker is your body. I mean, that's it.
Right.
And look how long the human genome has been around. And it's been predicted, an estimate, should I say, that the human genome has been exposed over close to 330 trillion viruses. So I would say that mechanism that nature gave you, God gave you, has been working pretty damn good.
Amen.
Well, yeah, good point, good point. And anybody who's just tuning into the show, we played the January 6th riots. Not riots, I don't want to call it riots. The January 6th Patriots stormed the Capitol, went into fine detail, and it was a pretty good one, actually. It talked about everything. So, let's see here. I'm going to open up the phone line here for 509. I don't know if 203 can get in or not, but I don't know. So go ahead there, 509.
Hey, Joe, it's Eddie. How you doing, man?
What's up? I recognize the number. How you doing?
As usual, I'm late to the party. I heard you guys talking about the COVID vaccine. And, you know, allow me to shine some light on something here because this actually, you know, hits close to home for me because my wife is, a healthcare worker. And so far at the facility that she works at, you know, because they're a caregiving facility. And so far, three people there who have gotten the COVID vaccine have died. And another person, she just got informed about 25 minutes ago before she left to go do her overnight at this facility, that another resident is COVID positive, even though he's already gotten the vaccine.
So what's that tell
you
right there?
Did you hear about the Nigerian woman who had to have both her legs amputated, both her legs and both of her hands amputated after getting the Pfizer vaccine and developing blood clots?
Actually, I have not heard that because I have been tied up all day long, and now I've got some available time, so I'm going to have to look at that because I find that interesting.
Well, the UK Daily Mail did an article on it, and let me see what her name is so you can look it up, because I read about it, and I was just man, it was
like devastating.
We
brought it up last night, I believe. We brought that up last night.
Her last name is Nachi. Her first name is Jumai. I think it's J-U-M-M-A-I. Last name, N-A-C-H-E. She was a medical care worker in a clinic.
I'll have to look that up. Thank you for that.
And her job required her to get the vaccine.
Because
she was a medical care worker in a clinic.
Well, what I was going to say is one of the things that I've been having to deal with here today, part of why my hands have been tied up, is thanks to Washington State, particularly my county, you know, the second biggest city, Spokane, Washington, our city council has defunded our police yet again by another $50 million. And today, due to the lack of police now because of their budget cut, they're now telling everybody, this is according to KHQ and the Krim and KXLY, our local news stations, that their concept for a reimagining police here locally, now keep in mind, crime, violent crime, not petty crime, violent crime, has increased 250% so far this year here. And what they're doing is with the police that are now laid off, they're replacing them with I swear to God, let lightning strike me dead if I'm lying. They're replacing the laid-off police officers with robots. And according to the Spokane City Council, they say that these CPR robots, because that's what they're calling them, will reduce crime by 51%. And I just can't help but fucking laugh at this because how does a robot know what type of force to apply on somebody that doesn't result in death? I'm seeing our state is going to get bankrupted with multiple lawsuits. We have to recriminalize hard drugs because there's no other way to explain the line of logic with this except these people on the city council have to be doing hard drugs. So I've had my hands tied with this.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got a little bit of Schadenfreude for you. In Oakland, California today, former California Senator Barbara Boxer was assaulted in Oakland's Jack London Square on Monday. Her personal Twitter account said, while she was not seriously injured, Boxer's cell phone was snatched by an assailant who managed to get away.
Well, I mean, there's that. And I'm going to say something on here, you know, because I wasn't thinking about saying it just yet, just because I don't, you know, all my ducks in order. But next year, I am going to officially be putting my name on the ballot for city council.
There you
I'm
go.
Tired
that
of this
sounds good.
I'm tired of the bullshit. You can't make this level of stupidity up. I am going to run as an open national socialist. I'm not going to hide my politics or my identity or anything like that, because right now, part of these 13 new laws that our city council has passed here, local police will no longer be responding to 911 domestic violence calls.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm
going to
tell you something.
Which city is this again? Which city council?
It's Spokane, Washington.
Oh, man, good luck with that one.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a big city, too.
I can't blame them too much on that, because they're in Minneapolis, in the neighborhood around 38th in Chicago, where the incident with George Floyd occurred. Mm-hmm. That was a lady that called in a domestic.
Bianchi, we keep going here, though. We got Eddie, me, you know, maybe we can get Sarge in there. Boy, we'll have a whole political party here pretty soon, huh? You know?
Absolutely.
You would think.
Well, let me finish with this. When you're talking about not responding. There at that area, a lady called in to the dispatcher, wanted to dispatch the police for a domestic violence, and the dispatcher told her, well, ma'am, you're going to have to go down to 35th Street and meet the police, because they do not come up in that area. And I don't blame them for the things that they would be faced with, just like in Atlanta, where you had police addressing responding to a murder, the body laying in the street, and one of the police officers was white, and the black crowd was chanting him, telling him to get the hell out. Even walked him back to the car and told him, don't come back. Now, if that's not racism, what the hell is it?
Well,
I
know this much. Come next year, when I run for city council. I agree. All I know is next year when I run for city council, am I expecting to win? Absolutely not. I win regardless if I lose, because if I win, I'm in. If I lose, I get to see how many people on a local level voted for me, and I know exactly where to target and till the grounds, so to speak. So I win regardless. But I am definitely doing this because one of the things that's happened today also, part of these 13 new laws that we've passed, is there was a violent shootout in Idaho, and the suspect fled to Washington State. Now, because of these new laws, they can't pursue this man, and the local police aren't doing anything about it. So now we've got, if you go to Idaho and commit a violent crime with a weapon and you cross over into Washington State, there's nothing that they can do to stop you. And I think that's bullshit.
I thought they did away with that.
Let's see if I understand this correct. Now, are you saying that if an Idaho police officer engaged in hot pursuit crosses the state line, that the state of Washington won't let him effect an arrest there? And then, look, the Supreme Court's already said hot pursuit is legal across
absolutely
state
is
line.
That's exactly what I'm stating, because if you guys don't mind, just briefly, I have the article right here in front of me, and I'm pulling it up because I want you guys to, you know, to really see what we – the people here in Washington State are having to deal with. It says, this was KHQ, our local news. It says, Idaho deputies unable to track down suspect who crossed into Washington State, creating new policing laws. It says, sheriff's deputies were unable to track down the suspect who allegedly attempted robbery with a weapon during a burglary. The new Washington policing laws that went into effect Sunday, the suspected perpetrator of the crime is believed to have crossed over into Washington after committing the crime in Idaho. Deputies believed they were staying in Pullman, Pullman police told Idaho deputies they were unable to follow up on any fashion of the case without probable cause. So even though they have this person,
a warrant for the guy, you are obligated to honor an out-of-state arrest warrant.
Absolutely. So this is just part of the new bullshit, part of the 13 new laws that our city council has put into effect as of Sunday.
You gotta
well,
stop
you know,
that.
Not
you
to be a reflect
that.
On
Dude,
you,
you,
sir.
Gotta you got to stop that.
Not to be a reflection on you. Where in the
sure.
hell do you find these people at on your city council?
it's hard to say. You know, after Portland, Oregon decriminalized its hardcore drugs, such as crystal meth, heroin, crack cocaine, Washington State did the exact same thing.
I've executed a lot of out-of-state warrants on suspects, and if there were no geographical limits on the warrant, because the warrant will state if there's geographical
right.
warrants or limits on it. And if there are none,
absolutely.
You hold the suspect, you notify the jurisdiction with the warrant that you got them in their custody, and if they don't
and
come,
they extradite
them up, you let them go. But still,
right.
you honor the warrant.
Absolutely. So, like I said, this is just some of the problems that we're facing here because, like I said, right down the street from my house, we have a grocery store, Fred Meyer, and there were two carjackings there, one that happened in the parking lot in broad daylight with a gun. The suspect crashed the car trying to get out of the grocery store parking lot into the middle of the highway, got out of the car and carjacked another person in the middle of the highway. So the crime is no longer in downtown. It is now in the suburban areas, and it is getting worse. And our city council is doing nothing to solve this problem, to even remotely provide solutions to fix the problem. So it makes my decision that much easier.
Well, I tell you, I wish it was a way for you to get that story about the person dying after they had the second shot. I wish you could get that in the local newspaper so we could spread that around, because people mm-hmm. are betting their life that just don't happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the story that you might not key to, that story needs to get around, too.
Hang on a second, Sarge.
Now, Eddie,
what's up, Joe?
I wanted to ask you, now, as far as the ballot access goes now,
mm-hmm.
Have you looked into that yet, your county board of elections? I mean, how are you going are you going to be able to get your name on the ballot for city council to be a part of that and run as a national socialist and, you know, have that on the ticket? Or is there requirements where you got to get a certain amount of signatures to get ballot access? Or do you have to, you know, like primary first? Or what, like, have you looked into that?
Now, As far as I know in regards to it, because I've looked into it just a little bit today. I haven't gone into full depth because a lot of stuff that I've had going on. But as far as I know, now don't quote me on this, guys, but as far as I know, you do not need to secure XYZ amount of signatures to be put on the ballot. As far as I know.
Great.
Now, if I announce my candidacy next year, which I do plan to do, I could see them trying to draft laws to stop me saying that you need XYZ amount of signatures. I could see that happening.
Yeah, yeah. See, down here in North Carolina, they got unaffiliated. If you're not affiliated with the Republican or Democratic Party, right, you have to get signatures. Mm-hmm. If you're independent, you have to get – I mean, you don't have to get signatures, you're Republican or Democrat. You primary.
Right.
You primary whoever else is running. Now, if you want to get on, like, the independent or Constitution Party, you have to get 4,000. You have to get a certain percentage
sure.
of the amount of people that are in your voting, that are voting. Like, so
now,
if you want to run for governor, you got to get, like, 75,000
right.
signatures.
Oh, yeah. Now, one of the things that kind of works out in my favor if they do attempt to, you know, put this to where you need XYZ amount of signatures to run, I have been since 2015 a registered Republican. So I can
there
run as a Republican and avoid that
yep,
bullshit, but also as a National Socialist. You know, I can
yeah,
say, you know,
yeah.
I'm running on the Republican ticket. But this is my politics,
like Bernie
and there ain't shit you can do.
You know?
Right, right.
Because,
I mean, if he can do it, anybody can do it.
Oh, look, you better
that's
make
right.
sure you
right.
got all your I's dotted and your tease lines, because look what they tried to do with Larry Elder in California.
Oh, sure. Now, see, that's the beautiful thing about me is I've always told people, and I've preached this and I've practiced it, that if you live your life in a moral fashion and you don't compromise, there's nothing that your enemies can dig up on you to insult you or attack you with. So with that said, yeah, once I move forward with what I plan to do next year, the only thing that I can be attacked on is being a Nazi. That's it.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. That's right. And they will use it against you. But I'll tell you what, you could spin it. And but one thing you need to be careful of, Eddie, just a little advice. Make sure your treasurer, make sure when you have a treasurer on your campaign, make sure that's you follow the guidelines there, and you put together a good committee. You know, two or three good people. You know,
right? Because for me, you know, my decision to do this was made abundantly clear at around 1 o'clock this afternoon, when I started seeing, you know, these policies that our city council has put into effect, and how detrimental they are to the overall public health and safety of this county and this state. At that point, my course of action became clear.
Well, good for you, man, and I wish more people would do that. Step up to the plate, and even if it's, you know, you, like you said, I don't know if I'll win or not, but step up to the plate and say, hey, man, I'm throwing my hat in the ring. At least you'll get a mouthpiece out there, and you'll freaking be out there and boots on the ground meeting people and persuading people and teaching them what's right, you know?
Absolutely, because, you know, there's not really much that they can attack me with being a Nazi, because I don't have a violent criminal history in regards to pro-white activity. So that argument's already debunked.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's great. Hey, closing thoughts to, tonight's podcast here. I'll go down the line here. Hey, the private caller, I don't know your name, but you want to say something here real quick?
Yeah, it's a pleasure meeting you guys. My name is David. And
all right.
I listen to you guys like almost every day. So,
all right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. And I also call my friends, and they listen too. So he got more.
All right,
cool. People listening.
Awesome. All right, that's more people that listen, the more ways we get the word out. You know, it's not just about listening too. You could be in the chat room or whatever, or download it later on. You know, but hey, man, if you live listen, that's great. If you live listen, you should always try to call in. That's how I see it. You know, at least try. You know, but hey, but thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Bianca, you want to go?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
No, but the gentleman that's running for city council, I just want to say this, is stick to your convictions. Don't shortchange anything. I mean, you would know better when and how and what to say, when and how and what time to say it. But you got to stand on your 2 feet. I respect your convictions, and I will hope that others too. You know, the main thing is that you're for protecting this nation. This nation that my grandchildren and their kids have got to grow up in. We need more people like yourself to stand for.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
Right.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Sarge, your turn, man. And then we'll get to politics.
I got to agree with – I got to echo pretty much Bianchi's comments. We are headed – look, we can have difference of opinions on things, but one thing we shouldn't have a disagreement opinion on is the destruction of this nation. And the people that you are running against in Spokane and Washington are enacting policies that will speed and impel this country toward its constitutional and Republican destruction. And anyone willing to halt that train is okay with me, and good luck.
Thank you.
That's right. All right, yeah, man. All right, I'll go next, and then I'll give Eddie the final word, since he gave his announcement here on my podcast that he was going to be running. And man, that would be great, man. Maybe we can get some other people that are running for office as the election, you know, when it does come near later on, you know, in the year. And, man, get some people up here and talk about issues. That would be great, man, you know. But, hey, it was a good podcast show here tonight, the Trump train there. We re-ran that from the Capitol
patriots there and to pay more attention to that, man, because those people are sitting there kidnapped in a concrete box right now, man, kidnapped. And they need our help, and they need this talked about. So, Eddie, I'm going to let you wrap it up. Go ahead, man.
I appreciate it. And thank you all for your words of encouragement and support for my decision. I am also going to make this announcement on Tuesday on Coast to Coast, the show that I host on Blog Talk Radio on the National Socialist Movement platform. And, you know, I'm dead serious about this because win or lose, I still win.
That's right.
And I hope that I can inspire others by my actions to at least attempt to do the same thing, because when you give up and you accept what's happening, you're a defeatist, and I am by no means a defeatist. I will fight on my feet and die on my feet before I live as a slave on my knees, period.
All right. I love it. That's right. That's right. No way. And don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. You know, stand by for what you believe in. Then if you're wrong, you know what? If you stand up for what you rightfully believe in within yourself, you know what? Everyone else will point you in the right direction. Goodness will always overcome the darkness out there. You know what I mean? So
that's correct.
Hey. All right, everybody. God bless the Republic. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I appreciate it. Take care.
Take care.
No weapons of mass destruction were found.
Are you kidding me? Do you buy that? There were, there were, there were. Nyeh, 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 nyeh.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks.
He wore black and I wore white.
Come on, let us shoot.
He would always
Hey, I need to get the brass to drop ramps. I got a wounded girl. We need to take the rest of mine.
Oh, it's their fault for bringing their kids to a battle.
That's right.
The main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It turns out he didn't, but he had the capacity to make weapons of mass destruction. But I also talked about the human suffering in Iraq.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States. I salute the boys and girls who are buying United States savings stamps and bonds, and they're giving important support to the cause of freedom and the men who fight for us in Vietnam.
Congress gave us this authority in August 1964 to do whatever may be necessary. That's pretty far-reaching. That's the sky's the limit.
As an American citizen, you have to respect our president, whether I like it or not. It's really not my decision, but I do respect my president, and I will support whatever decision he makes.
Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang.
It is a hard fact that U.S. strikes have resulted in civilian casualties.
Now he's gone, I don't know why. Until this day, sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie.
The United States knows that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
One of the first things they told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply. That reply is
crashing through the lies and disinformation.
If your killer instincts are not clean and strong, you will hesitate at the moment of truth. You will not kill. You will become dead Marines. And then you will be in a world of shit. Because Marines are not allowed to die without permission. Do you maggots understand?
Sir! Yes, sir!
Tonight, your pukes will sleep with your rifle. You will give your rifle a girl's name. Because this is the only pussy you people are going to get. Your days of finger-banging old Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties are over. You're married to this piece, this weapon of iron and wood, and you will be faithful.
I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.